The Ewan Grant Podcast, the Limestone Coast Triple M.
G'day, it's Ewan. Welcome to the Ewan Grant Podcast and welcome to everyone joining me on the Listener app. Today is a huge day on the podcast. There's lots to talk about. First of all, the fire that's taking place in Coles up near Narracourt, Lucindale. I'm going to catch up with the Regional Duty Commander of the CFS, Jason Druitt, and he'll give us the details of what has taken place in the last 36 hours in regards to the Coles fire. Peter Malinauskas, he is the leader of the opposition, the leader of the Labor Party in South Australia. He's in the Limestone Coast at the moment, and I am catching up with him to talk the election, to talk hot button issues in the Limestone Coast, and of course, to talk about health in the Limestone Coast, which is an absolutely huge issue. And look, as we look forward to the weekend, Maddie Fry is going to join me, and we're going to talk all about the Freedom Rally, which is taking place tomorrow. Now let's get things underway. In the last 36 hours or so, there has been a fire that's been going in Coles. There are a number of firefighters, a number of appliances, a number of aircraft that are all involved to try and bring this fire under control. The man who knows all about it is the Regional Deputy Commander. Jason Druitt joins me for a chat. Jason, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good. Jason, what can you tell me about the last 36 hours and the situation in regards to the fire in the Limestone Coast at the moment?
Sure. So it's been a really busy 36 hours for our firefighters. As you said, so the fire started in the Coles area and it's been burning in Plantation, Blue Gum primarily, in that Callendale area or near Callendale Road. So it's burned about 3,700 hectares so far. Overnight, we've had 40 fire trucks and about 150 firefighters on the ground and also heavy plant strengthening containment lines around the actual fire perimeter. And we've been doing a bit of burning out operations as well to help strengthen those containment lines with the hope that we're going to be able to contain this fire yesterday. As you're aware, we had a bit of a run on that fire yesterday when the weather conditions got to the point where we had some spotting activity and it was a bit hard for our crews to hold the fire within the containment lines.
And Jason, how hard has it been given that we had a day of total fire ban yesterday and we're looking at another day of total fire ban today for you guys to do what you do?
Look, it is really tough being a firefighter on the ground with these types of conditions. So not only are we dealing with, you know, it's hot outside, everyone walks outside and go, look, it's really hot, so they, you know, they want to wear shorts and T-shirt. Our crews are wearing full protective equipment. They're working in, you know, smoky conditions. They're often working very close to the fire front. And as the winds increase and the temperatures increase and fire behaviour increase, it becomes very hard for our crews to suppress fire activity. We're also supported by 6 aerial water bombers to help sort of take the sting out of the fire as our firefighters try to get control of it on ground. Very challenging areas for our crews to work in, but I must say, very amazed on how hard these crews have been working around the clock for the last 36 hours.
Jason, it's times like these that we realise how valuable our CFS volunteers are in the Limestone Coast. I mean, have you guys got enough volunteers covering this fire at the moment?
Yeah, sure. So as we had 150 firefighters overnight, we've got in excess of 200 firefighters on the ground today, and they'll be going through staging at the moment, getting breakfast and getting fed up ready and getting briefed and then heading out into the fire ground. And we'll be doing the ongoing resourcing. So we're actually looking at having firefighting crews on ground right up until mid next week. We're not actually saying the fire's going to be burning until next week, but we've got a lot of mopping up operations to undertake once we actually get the fire contained. And then we move into what we call mop up and overhaul. And that's quite a lengthy time considering it's in foresting areas. And it takes a lot to actually put out some of these stumps that will be burning.
Jason, a lot of concerned residents in the Limestone Coast in regards to this fire and the sheer size of it. What do you say to those people this morning?
Look, we'd like people to monitor the conditions, so be aware of what's happening around them. If they are concerned, obviously, and their bushfire survival plan says to relocate now. But monitor the social media, monitor the different radio channels, keep across our warning messages. So should the fire jump out of the containment lines and start a run again, we'll put further warning messages about this. a nice day, you know, to be inside and having the air conditions on. Whilst that's great, we also ask people to go outside and have a look around the landscape. Be aware it's what's happening around you. Obviously, if you see smoke or you see flames, make sure you report that to 000 as well. To call that through in 000 as well.
Jason Druitt joining me this morning from the CFS to talk all about the Coles fire and the situation this morning. Now, this weekend, the Freedom Rally is back, taking place at Vansittart Park. Maddie Fry is the lady who knows all about it, and she joins me for a chat. Maddie, good morning.
Good morning, Ewan. How are you going?
I'm good. Hey, Maddie, the Freedom Rally is taking place this weekend. What's going on?
Yes, we've got a National Worldwide Freedom Rally this weekend down at Vansittart Park at 12 o'clock on Saturday. This one should be a big one because it actually sits under a national banner, which is everyone across Australia at 12 o'clock at the same time.
Now, Maddie, you and I caught up before Christmas for a chat about the Freedom Rallies, but for those who might have missed it, what is the Freedom Rally all about?
The Freedom Rally is just about a bunch of concerned community members getting together to express their views just around the current South Australian state of emergency. So that state of emergency affects things such as children going back to school at the start of term, health professionals being able to work, mandates being put in place for vaccinations, border restrictions, business capacity, mask wearing, QR codes, all of the things that people are starting to voice that they're frustrated with sit under the current state of emergency. Mm. And we rally to try and put an end to that.
So do you want to see an end to all of the situation, I suppose, that COVID has put us into? Or are there changes specifically that you would like to see made?
Look, obviously, I personally, a lot of the stuff that sits under the state of emergency, I'd like to see an end to. But the number one thing is just to stop mandating vaccines and just to make it a choice. Just a choice so that people don't have to lose jobs or lose their livelihoods. Mm. A lot of the country's done the right thing, getting, you know, one vaccination, their second vaccination, and, you know, asking them to have a third and now making it 3 months instead of 4 months in between. I think enough's enough and it just needs to be made a choice and not, you know, people stop losing work and everything. It's not good enough.
Maddie, for people who would like to join the Freedom Rally, how can they do it? And how can people find out more information about what's going on Saturday?
Yeah, beautiful. So you can jump over to a Stand in the Park and Pro-Choice Movement Mount Gambier on Facebook. But all we need to do, rock up to Vansittart Park at 12 o'clock, bring a sign or wear a white T-shirt, because this rally, the biggest difference is compared to our other ones, is we're doing a silent rally. Mm. So we won't be chanting, we won't be making the noise that we normally do down the street. We'll be just walking together as a community of concerned members. No noise, just use our words on our signs and everything to get our point across. And then we'll head to the railway lands for an after event where we have Troy Bell, Gavin Clark, a United Australia Party member coming down, some live music, some food and everything. So there'll be an after event at the railway lands at about 1 o'clock for those who might not want to come down for the rally.
Mm. Maddie, good luck on Saturday. For anybody who'd like to go along, the Freedom Rally, it's a silent rally taking place from 12 noon at Vansittart Park. Jump online if you'd like more details. Maddie, it's been great to talk to you again.
No worries. Thanks, Ewan.
Now, Limestone Coasters, Peter Malinauskas is in the Limestone Coast at the moment. He is talking health for a very good reason. It is time to catch up with him. He joins me on the line. He is, of course, the leader of the opposition, the leader of the Labor Party, Peter Malinauskas. Good morning.
Good morning, Ewan, and good morning to your listeners. Great to be chatting about all things Limestone Coast.
Now, mate, election is coming up this year. How are things shaping up for Labor in the lead up to the election?
You know, Ewan, I think it's going to be a close election. The reality is for Labor, our challenge of defeating a first-term government is tricky. That's an unusual thing to occur. But, you know, I've got a really united team. We've got a big plan for the future of our state. We don't want the election to be all about COVID. We want the election to be about who has got a vision and a policy to actually ensure that the legacy of COVID is a better future for the next generation of South Australians. But while at the same time addressing some really important needs that exist throughout the state, and the Limestone Coast is no exception. So I'm really excited about the challenge ahead. It's a big one, but it's one I'm committed to giving my absolute best towards, and That's something to look forward to over the next few weeks.
Peter, what do you reckon the hot button issues are that the Limestone Coast needs addressed by your government?
Look, there are hot button issues, and health is clearly topical, and obviously we've got some announcements out there about that, Ewan, which would be good to discuss. But, you know, I've spent a lot of time in the southeast over the last few years, but also I've travelled to the Limestone Coast a lot throughout my working life, and I've always enjoyed it. But something that's dawned on me, particularly over the last 3 or 4 years since I took over the leadership of the Labor Party, is that there's a misconception about how we approach the southeast in Adelaide. So I think, you know, lots of people in the government bureaucracy think that, you know, people in Mount Gambier and surrounds need the state government to help them. I've sort of formed the view that it's the opposite. I actually think that what we really need is a situation where Adelaide realises that we need the southeast. And the reason why I say that is because the Limestone Coast, I genuinely believe, has probably more economic potential upside than any other part of our state. And the truth is that everyone in the southeast has sort of largely got on with the job for the last 30 or 40 years and grown their local economy without much assistance. You've done it on your own. And whereas in other parts of the state, whether it be, you know, Whyalla or Pirie, for instance, they've had big industrial crises around the steelworks or the smelter, and everyone rushes to their aid to solve the problem. Meanwhile, in the Limestone Coast, the economy's growing, people are working hard, and things are going well. And that means it almost gets taken for granted by Adelaide. And I think having come to that view, I've worked really hard to put together a policy that I'm going to take to the election to realise the potential in the southeast, and hopefully that might enjoy the support of locals.
And Peter, you've got two great candidates for the Labor Party down here in the Limestone Coast this time around.
Yeah, we do. We're really excited about putting two great candidates, a great gentleman in MacKillop, and then, of course, a great female candidate in Mount Gambier. They're both good, hardworking individuals. They'll be out on the ground talking about our plan for the future. But ultimately, I hope that the election's about policy and what the vision that we have for the state is.
Peter, you alluded to the fact that health is a huge issue here in the Limestone Coast. And yesterday, you were lucky enough to be announcing some policy decisions in regards to the Narracourt Hospital. What were you? What are you planning from a government perspective?
So the Narracourt Hospital is desperately in need of an upgrade. So we announced yesterday that if we form government, we're going to invest $8 million towards a major redevelopment of the Narracourt Hospital. We see that as being probably the first stage in that redevelopment. And then on top of that, another $3.4 million to boost the drug and alcohol rehabilitation services in the area. Both are acute needs. Now, the reason why we can do this for the Narracourt Hospital is because we've got a very different policy from the Marshall Liberal government in terms of expenditure. So Stephen Marshall said that if they win government, they're going to spend $662 million of taxpayers' money on a basketball stadium in Adelaide. I have announced that if we win, we will scrap that program, and every single dollar of that money will instead be invested in health. And I specifically have quarantined $100 million of that to be spent on country health. Now, Ewan, you can do a lot with $100 million.
I'm sure.
We're going to invest $8 million in the Narracourt Hospital, $3.4 million in drug and alcohol rehab services in the southeast, and then we've got a program for the Mount Gambier Hospital as well.
And that is why you're here today, Peter. Take us through the announcement for today.
So $23.9 million we're going to spend on a redevelopment of the Mount Gambier Hospital. So that'll give us three key components. $8 million on the emergency department, which many of your listeners, Ewan, will be familiar with, is in desperate need of an upgrade. Mm. One of the big issues in hospitals throughout the state, and Mount Gambier is no different, is mental health. There are a massive drain on mental health resources, and if they don't have adequate facilities in the mental health unit, they end up going in the general ward of the hospital, and then that puts pressure across the whole system. So we're going to spend $11.2 million, doubling the size of the mental health unit in Mount Gambier. And then lastly, we're going to spend just under $5 million to fit out and operate two separate dedicated drug and alcohol detox beds. So the idea is, if you double the size of the mental health unit, if you introduce a brand new set of beds for drug and alcohol detox, then you take those patients out of the general ward and the emergency department, and then you free up the rest of the hospital to get on with other business that needs to be done. So, and again, all of that money that we're spending on the hospital, we can fund because we won't be proceeding with the Marshall Government's City Basketball Stadium.
Peter, election is obviously coming up. Now is the opportunity for people to look at the policies that you are putting out, not only for the Limestone Coast, but for the state. People will obviously be looking at the policies that are put out by the government of the day as well. What's your advice to people who have got to go to the polling booths?
I know that a lot of people these days, you and I, are cynical about politics and politicians. And, you know, in many ways, I understand that. But ultimately, our democracy is precious. And the people who make the final judgment call is every last South Australian. That's the way the system works. So while sometimes people probably don't feel as though their vote is precious, it really is. And the choices are theirs. And, you know, I do have a vision for the future of the state. The big policy focus that I'm going to have is on education and skills. Access to skills is probably one of the biggest constraints to growth we have in South Australia at the moment. And one of the things that COVID has exposed is that for 30 years, Australia's and South Australia's skills policy is just to import more and more skilled labour. You know, if there's a skill shortage, have more skilled immigration. That's got its place, but I want to invest in our kids locally. So I've got a big program for building tech schools. I've announced that I want to build a brand new technical college in Mount Gambier. I've got a big program for early childhood education. I want to give principals the power to hire and fire, to give teachers, to make sure that schools are operating at the best teaching quality as possible. I've got a program to invest in more allied health services in schools to address those needs so teachers can get on with teaching. We're going to change the way teacher recruitment operates. We're going to make the teaching loading in regional South Australia permanent so regional communities don't lose teachers that they've attracted. So we've got a program about university amalgamation. So I've got a big policy in education and skills, and I'm passionate about it because if the legacy of COVID has to be a better future for the next generation of South Australians. Now, maybe my passion for that influence from having young kids, I don't know, but we've got to make sure we're passing on the future of our state in a better state than the one we inherited to the next generation, and I hope that's what this election's all about.
Peter, two huge announcements, $8 million towards a major redevelopment for the Narra Court Hospital yesterday. The announcement today of $23.9 million, part of the Mount Gambier Hospital redevelopment. It's sensational news. Have a great time down in the southeast today. And, mate, thank you very much for joining us on the Brekkie Show this morning.
I really appreciate it, and I really appreciate the opportunity, Ewan, to talk about the choice that people are going to have at the ballot box in March.
That's it for today's podcast. I'll be back on Tuesday for everything Limestone Coast. Don't forget to catch up with everything happening across the Limestone Coast. Make sure you look out for the Mount Gambier Local Guide on Listener. You can catch up with me live on the radio, 6 a.m. weekday mornings on the Limestone Coast, 963 Triple M.